This paper has been slightly modified to optimize your listening experience. While we have included a brief description of the figures and tables, all references, citations, parentheses, appendices, footnotes and endnotes have been removed. To obtain these tables, figures, quotes, appendices, full references and citations for this paper, please view the HTML or PDF version at the iRodul website, www.irodul.org. International Review of Research in Open and Distributed Learning, Volume 18, Number 5, August 2017. The title of this article is Repositories of Open Educational Resources, an Assessment of Reuse and Educational Aspects. The authors of this article are Gemma Santos Hermosa of the University of Barcelona and the Open University of Catalonia, Nària Ferran Ferrer of the Open University of Catalonia, and Ernest Abadal of the University of Barcelona. Abstract. This article provides an overview of the current state of repositories of open educational resources in higher education at international level. It analyses a series of educational indicators to determine whether ROER can meet the specific needs of the education context, and to clarify understanding of the reuse of open educational resources provided by ROER. The aim of the study is to assess ROER by combining these two perspectives, and to form a basis for discussion among the universities that are responsible for these repositories. The method was based on content analysis and consisted of two phases: an exploration of international sources, and an analysis of 110 ROER using the proposed set of indicators. The results focus on data from the analysis of ROER websites and some models of good practices. They are presented according to three core dimensions for evaluating ROER: general factors to establish types of ROER, a focus on drivers for OER reuse, and a focus on educational aspects. It was found that most of the ROER that included one or more of the proposed reuse indicators were created exclusively for educational resources. Educational aspects are not yet firmly embedded into ROER. The few repositories that seem to have successfully included them are those that provide other educational metadata and use educational standards. Keywords: repositories, open educational resources, OER, evaluation, reuse, higher education, introduction. In the past decade, the open educational resources movement has gained ground and expanded exponentially. Previously, there were only localized OER initiatives. Now OER are recognized and supported by key international institutions, governments and funders worldwide. Although OER have become more significant worldwide and their availability and use have expanded, the movement has still not achieved its full potential and entered the mainstream education system. In February 2015, the collaborative report OER Strategy Development provided a concise analysis of the current state of the OER movement and became a roadmap to identify specific strategies to achieve the real adoption of OER. According to the report, current platforms that enable the management, discovery, use, and reuse of open content are inadequate and not very well known. Resources are found in a wide range of formats, and repositories are varied and generally do not include common search terms or metadata. For this reason, a study on the extent to which existing OER repositories promote the discovery, use, and reuse of resources may lead to improvements in the adoption and impact of OER. The OER movement in Europe has led many universities to rethink their institutional policies and consider how to innovate in higher education teaching and learning practices. In its Opening Up Education initiative, the European Commission observed that stimulating supply and demand for high-quality European OERs is essential for modernizing education and that OER must become more visible and accessible to all citizens. One of the key transformative actions proposed is to improve the visibility of quality OER produced in the EU. By 2020, through the development of open digital ROER using investment funds, evidence shows that greater exploitation of OER would increase access to education, and the development of quality educational standards would have a positive effect. Consequently, ROER should include educational aspects and metadata so that the most relevant resources are classified and can be retrieved by the main users, teachers and students. This study takes into account a series of educational indicators that determine whether ROER can meet the specific needs of the education context. It also defines the scope of ROER and proposes a series of indicators to analyze them, and particularly to clarify understanding about the reuse of OER provided by ROER. Consequently, This study could help to determine what can be done to improve ROER and may become a basis for discussion among universities and institutions responsible for these repositories. This is deemed essential, since ROER can make a substantial contribution towards achieving the goals of the Europe 2020 strategy, quality and relevance in higher education. Background: global knowledge and research in OER is increasing. This topic has aroused the interest of researchers, as OER could make a strong contribution to improving education and fostering openness. One of the main themes of OER research is OER and technology, and repositories in particular. A pioneering, complete overview of ROER that examined their main features was conducted by Tsikopoulos, Manousalis, and Vuorikari. Several other studies focused on guidelines for developing ROER, their structure, operational aspects and a quantitative analysis of repositories, additional services that they might provide and a holistic approach to quality assurance. Similarly, a recent study focused on the institutional promotion of OER through repositories and details of ROER have been gathered in international directories, such as the OER World Map, OER Repositories World Map and OER Atlas. However, none of these studies specifically refers to the reuse and educational aspects of ROER. These two unresolved issues merit particular attention in our research. Wiley considered that any digital resource could be reused to support learning, and subsequent studies have stressed the importance of reuse. However, they have also recognized the great difficulty in finding evidence of reuse, the still insufficient analyses, and the problem of remix. The most common discussion framework has been focused on user surveys and tracking OER usage. A couple of studies specifically address the connection between reuse and ROER as a key theme that represents one type of activity within a repository, or link reuse to the creation of personal spaces. Nevertheless, ROER's current predisposition to reuse has not been considered. For this reason, the present research examines opportunities provided by ROER that facilitate reuse of OER regarding educational issues. Studies have mainly focused on benefits, challenges, and limitations associated with OER, their creation and distribution, and their important role in open education. There are many studies on metadata evaluations of ROER, but these adopt a formal and technological perspective rather than analyze the educational relevance of ROER. Therefore, the current study aims to explore how ROER support teaching and learning, based on educational requirements. We are aware of the connection between reuse and educational aspects, and understand that reuse can be more difficult because the educational design is rarely visible. Therefore, this is the first review that integrates both perspectives in ROER. It also provides an overview of the current state of ROER in higher education, as some aspects of ROER are underdeveloped. A distinctive, value-added framework is becoming indispensable, since reuse and educational aspects in ROER still pose certain challenges. We propose the following research questions. What are ROER and what are their main features? What features can be found in ROER that promote reuse and educational aspects? How developed are ROER with respect to reuse and educational aspects? Method. The method used in this study was based on content analysis and consisted of two phases: exploration of international and specialized sources about ROER, and selection of the ROER population to be analyzed. Analysis of the ROER population using a proposed set of indicators, divided into three main categories that were directly related to the research questions. Selecting a population. In order to select ROER for analysis, the following sources were used: the Registry of Open Access Repository, the Directory of Open Access Repositories, the portal Open Education Europe, a report on the state of the art by the Educational Repositories Network, and other literature on the subject. After retrieving a total of 1,186 repositories of learning objects or educational resources, a population of 110 ROER was selected using the following criteria: a higher education level of education, or HE combined with other levels, updated from 2011 onwards, and currently functioning, repositories with specific OER collections, repositories containing at least 50 OER figure 1, selection of the ROER population. Core dimensions and indicators. Repositories tend to be evaluated using institutional factors that are based on institutional needs and strategies. However, considering that ROER's particular requirements differ from those of traditional digital repositories, other aspects could be taken into account. The current study proposes three core dimensions for evaluating ROER: general descriptive factors to establish types of ROER, a focus on drivers for OER reuse, and a focus on educational aspects. These categories are broken down according to specific indicators. Category 1. General indicators. Types and technology. Table 1. ROER types and technology. Category 2. Indicators of reuse. One of the benefits of ROER is that teachers have the opportunity to reuse, modify, and adapt resources, and a secure and reusable platform is an important design factor that contributes to reuse. Hence, ROER that implement drivers contributing to reuse would become beneficial reusable platforms for users. Table 2 shows a proposal of facilitating factors, and gives reasons for this chosen focus. Table 2. Indicators for reuse. Category 3. Educational indicators. Since it has been emphasized that the pedagogical value of educational resources is the most important factor, Table 3 proposes a series of indicators that are designed to describe ROER from an educational perspective. Table 3. Educational indicators. Data gathering and analysis. Content analysis was carried out for each of the 110 repository websites, using tables 1 to 3 as codification frameworks. Tools for retrieving information from each website were used, such as searching and browsing. Data were collected between 2015 and 2016. Content analysis limitations were broken URLs, duplicate data, and the omission of pertinent data. Another limitation of this study was that some repositories are available in other languages and have not been translated into English. Results and discussion. This section presents and discusses data from the analysis of ROER websites. In addition, some relevant ROER are highlighted as models of good practices. ROER types and technology. Main features. Table 4 indicates that there are more OER repositories that only contain learning resources than hybrid repositories containing research and learning resources. Table 4. OER stored wholly or partially. Most ROER were multidisciplinary. The second most common discipline in ROER was science, technology, engineering, and maths. Most ROER were dedicated to higher education. A lower number covered different levels of education. Although a multidisciplinary approach also seemed more common in a previous analysis, other data suggest that single subject repositories would be more suitable for teachers, since it is harder for teachers to find and use relevant OER for their subjects in broader repositories. Table 5. Disciplines. Table 6. Educational level. Authorship. It was found that the prevailing ROER were institutional and the rest were national. This pattern is similar to that found in another analysis, in which institutional ROER were also predominant, but to a lesser extent. Geographical origin. As stated in the literature, most ROER were created in Europe and North America. Others were scattered between South America, Asia, and Africa. 27 countries were represented in the total ROER population. The countries that created the highest numbers of ROER were the UK, Spain, the USA, and France. The success of ROER in the UK might be due to the considerable funding provided for OER projects by the Joint Information Systems Committee. This pattern varies in other studies, in which the USA was found to be the most common location, followed by Germany and Italy. However, our results might be influenced by the fact that they only focus on higher education ROER. The countries that were found to be most involved in ROER may coincide with the countries in which most publications about OER have been identified. Table 7. Geographical origin of ROER. Table 8. Geographical origin of ROER. Software platform. Data on the technology that supports ROER's platforms suggests that DSpace is the most popular software, followed by a range of other software, some content management systems and learning management systems, and eprints. Other software that is used to a lesser extent is DLibra, Equella, Fedora, and MyCore. However, in a significant number of ROERs, the platform was not identified, as it was not mentioned in their policies or anywhere else. This result coincides with that of Opendoor and Bueno de la Fuente. Although recent studies have indicated a tendency to adopt CMS in the ROER scene. Table 9. Software platform. Metadata standards. The indexing of resources using metadata facilitates their location, dissemination, and harvesting from other online platforms. In this analysis, the most widely used metadata standard in ROER was Dublin Core. It was not specified whether Simple or Qualified DC was used, but both types may be involved, since additional qualifiers that further refine the meaning of OER have been found. The predominance of the DC element set might be due to the fact that DSpace uses it as its base metadata schema and DSpace was the most popular software used in ROER, as shown above. However, the DC schema cannot efficiently characterize educational material or meet the needs of ROER. Accordingly, several educational metadata standards have appeared over time to improve the description of educational resources by identifying their pedagogical properties. A widely adopted standard is IEEE-LOM, which has an inherent extension capability and attributes that enable learning resources to be managed and evaluated. Other learning specifications are IMS, which is a development of LOM, and SCORM for sequencing structured educational material in the form of reusable content. Table 10. Metadata standards. 20% of the ROER adopted specific educational metadata standards for describing the OER. The most commonly used standards were LOM, SUPL, OMFR, SCORM, IMS and others. Some other ROER provided a free tag system. Lastly, 2.7% used a generic schema for describing digital objects, called METS PLMET. Table 11. Educational metadata standard. The pattern shown by these data contrasts with the findings of other studies, in which the importance of IEEE-LOM outstripped that of DC and in which less volume and fewer details of the metadata standard were identified. Reuse in ROER intentionality. A total of 36.3% of ROER expressed an intention to reuse materials, in the form of comments in the mission or in the collections policies, which were found in Ariadne, the University of Leicester's OER repository or expert. For example, advice and instructions on the reuse of resources. Open Michigan has a Use Open Content section, with recommendations on how to adapt and license resources, and messages encouraging users to remix resources. NCLOR proposes that teachers can become more productive and save valuable time if they contribute new versions of resources. OER Africa also encourages teachers to adapt materials to African contexts and learners. Table 12. Intention to reuse. Versioning. 13 of the ROER used some technical implementations to record different versions of the same resource. For instance, Joram allows multiple versions of an object to be deposited by adding information on the version in the description. Other ROER provided the following. Search filters to retrieve available versions, including information on where a specific resource was used, how to reuse resources, and where to find resources to remix or make derivatives. Specific metadata and sections for versioned resources, including life cycle or details, version history and copy history based. The most developed ROER showed chronologically who, when, and which files had been changed, offered assistance about how to reuse or create contents that are suitable for reuse and recommended how to reuse and attribute educational content. Of the subtotal of ROER that described reuse intentions, only 32.5% included versioning. Therefore, a more intentional rather than a technical solution to support reuse has been observed. This may be because maintenance and updating are problems that ROER are struggling with. Table 13. Versioning. Licenses. Table 14 shows that only 5.5% of repositories had restricted access to resources. A total of 56.4% had an open license. 24.5% had both open and restricted licenses and, finally, 13.6% did not specify the license. Amongst the open licenses, Creative Commons prevailed, followed by specific licenses for educational use, and other in-house licenses provided by the repositories. As for ROER with a combination of both open and restricted access, 11 out of 27 were found to have CC. Table 14. Licenses. In some studies, 76% of ROER had copyright policies and 52.5% or 22% had CC licenses. Our results were more positive, since they showed an increase in openness of ROER and in the use of CC. However, there were still very few CC licenses, considering that they are relatively easy to adopt and led to greater access, use and reuse of resources. Our findings also revealed that CC are more commonly implemented in the USA and Europe, where more ROER are based. The opposite situation was found by Adonis and Haviman, where the incidence of CC was greater in areas with fewer ROER. The specific type of CC license provided by ROER can reveal the real opportunities they provide to reuse resources. Out of a total of 59 ROER with CC, we observed that most allowed reuse. 42.4% were attribution non-commercial share alike, 27.1% used any of the 6 CC licenses, and 16.9% were under by NC. This last license allows others to non-commercially remix the original work, and if it is also combined with, say, new creations that build on the original work must be licensed under identical terms. The remaining 13.6% that did not allow any reuse corresponded to the most restrictive CC, which only permits others to download and share resources if they credit the author, and does not allow the material to be changed in any way or used commercially. Table 15. Creative Commons licenses. The preponderance of the CC by NC SA licenses in line with the findings of other studies, but was clearly higher in the current research. Although the number of CC licenses that facilitated reuse was high, it still only represented less than half of the total ROER. Granularity. It was found that just 20.9% of ROER had resources with different levels of granularity. Other research has shown that granular resources are more valued and effective for users and play an important role in reuse for teaching and learning. Learning Space specifies that resources can be cataloged both as single entities and constituent parts. TEMOA also refers to resources as topics, activities or courses. ATE Central provides separate categories for instructional unit and courses. RUA provides specific metadata to indicate that modules are part of a subject or course, and Radar links the different units related to a course. Table 16. Granularity. Granularity and the rest of the indicators of reuse were found to be interconnected. Thus, ROER with granularity also included social networks, a quality system and some intention for reuse or versioning. Table 17. Indicators of reuse in ROER with granularity. Open formats. A total of 15.4% of the ROER included open formats. Amongst these, only 9.1% implemented open formats as metadata. The other 6.3% included open formats, but they did not appear in the results. Table 18. Open formats. 10 of the 17 ROER with open formats also supported reuse, and 14 had open licenses. These results are fairly consistent if we consider that open formats should facilitate reuse. Some good practices regarding open formats in ROER were the inclusion of recommendations about their adoption, which were found in some guidelines. Attention should be given to the adoption of open standards. We would generally recommend resource authors to use open source solutions in preference to proprietary ones. Open formats ensure the preservation of resources and whenever is possible, the open and easily reusable formats should be used. Finally, Merlot is committed to creating materials with Content Builder and Pachyderm open software. Some preferred formats that were detected are .odt or .txt for text and .flac for audio, .epub for ebooks, .html, .xml and .css for web. Quality. A total of 43.6% of the ROER specifically mentioned quality, from a top-down perspective and according to 3 types of criteria. This result contrasts with that of other studies, in which quality assurance was even less present. Table 19. Top-down quality criteria. According to our data, the most common approach when there is a form of quality assurance is internal assessment, followed by the prestige of authors and external reviews. This pattern is aligned with UNESCO, which states that institutions are responsible for assuring the quality of OER used in teaching and learning environments, and should invest in improving quality before making materials available in ROER. The peer review, which is used extensively in scholarly publishing, has also become a quality assurance measure in ROER. Institutions often ensure quality through the OER submission process rather than the content. However, quality parameters exist in some cases, for example in the JISC Enriching Digital Resources Program. Other ROER use guidelines that guarantee relevant OER, those with learning objectives, instructional strategies and alignment with educational standards, and with an eminent educational or research purposes in teaching. In other cases, a review checklist is provided before resources are uploaded. The main reasons given by ROER that provide quality through recognition of the author are that the authenticity of the content is the sole responsibility of the creator, and authors have been full-time lecturers for other organizations and are experts in their fields. With these arguments, ROER exempt themselves from any responsibility for content, as authors must meet certain conditions before submitting OER or must participate in all the development stages. Some ROER based on peer review systems rely on specialist groups or editorial boards that decide which resources are suitable for their communities. Others make public their review criteria, such as content quality, scope, beneficiaries, usability and potential ongoing value of the site and high scientific accuracy, good pedagogical effectiveness, ease of use, clarity and completeness of documentation, motivating for learners, show robustness, and illustrate significance of content. The few ROERs that do not explicitly assume liability for their resources are those stored in external containers, or not subject to quality control. A bottom-up quality approach based on user-generated evaluation will be analyzed in the next section. Community of users. A total of 62.7% of ROER provided some kind of community engagement. The most common interaction allowed was recommending OER by sharing them through social networks, electronic mail or RSS. This was found in approximately half of the ROER. Conversely, less than one quarter of ROER allowed comments or ratings. Thus, in terms of ensuring a bottom-up quality system based on user action, ROER took less account of evaluation tools, such as rating, than of social media services. Table 20. Community of users. These findings are similar to some previous results, in which 51.2% of ROER allowed sharing, and 32.5% allowed ratings. However, it is difficult to discern what these numerical scores mean. Are they positive enough to claim real community engagement, or do they demonstrate the existence of review systems for users? Some authors found that social functionalities were not strong enough to assure quality. Clement added that they were insufficient if unsupported by a user's community. At the moment, these results show the extent to which community systems are available in ROER in a more qualitative analysis. Some examples of ROER point to the existence of community spaces and behaviors. These include discussion areas and special interest groups, groups of contributors that use and comment on OER, communities of interest and disciplines with their own YouTube channel and blogs for registered users, and international communities involved in creating and adapting OER and participating in a blog and wiki. Other ROER have recognition systems to evaluate and receive recognition from the community. For example, some assess members' level of contribution or provide top members' ratings. Finally, a comparison of all the proposed indicators of reuse shows that while they do not have enough presence in ROER, except licensing and social networks, most have a greater incidence in OER-exclusive repositories. In these, the features that were found most frequently were again licensing and social networks, as well as quality, intention and versioning. Note that although the figure for granularity is still low, it is much higher than in the total ROER. Table 21. Indicators of reuse. Educational aspects. OER types. The ROER provided information about the type of stored resources. This information was usually found in the metadata DC format or DC format MIM type, other related metadata, or the search type drop-down list. Table 22. Metadata on type of resources. Table 23 shows the wide range of resources that were identified in the ROER. Table 23. Types of OERs. The content policies of the ROER tended to state what kind of resources could be included in the collections and who could include material. For instance, Roderick asserted that by teaching documents we mean any original material that may be of interest for use in the classroom, and Leedsmit added that resources may only be deposited by accredited members of the institution or their delegated agents. In addition, open access policies establish that doctoral theses, final degree projects and dissertations must be deposited, and, in some cases, educational resources must also be deposited. Some ROER provided resources specifically about teaching and innovation in teaching as disciplines, or offered specific collections on curricula and pedagogy. Finally, Padamus provided a collection of material accessible to people with disabilities. Educational metadata. A total of 42.7% of the ROER included specific metadata related to education. The most popular educational metadata were educational level or grade and intended or suggested use. Others were related to the intended audience, pedagogy, knowledge area, learning goals, learning time and related syllabus. Finally, in some cases in which there were no specific metadata for educational aspects, other information about targeted users or educational intention was located in fields designed for descriptions or comments. Table 24. Types of educational metadata. Regarding the type of standards used by ROER with and without educational metadata, most of the ROER that used DC did not include specific educational metadata. In contrast, the vast majority of ROER that used educational metadata standards based on LOM or SCORM also provided metadata on specific educational aspects. This pattern could be seen as a logical consequence of the inherent characteristics of each metadata standard. Therefore, a greater presence of educational standards is expected in ROER that provide educational data, since these standards have been created with this purpose. Table 25. Educational standards and metadata in ROER. The results also showed another striking case. ROER with educational metadata using specific educational standards were equal in number to those using DC. This parity might be due to the possibility of mixing different metadata standards in the same repository, which is known as crosswalks metadata. This creates compatibility between descriptions, builds rich contexts for learning, and is useful for unnamed information that needs to be integrated. For instance, LOM elements can be incorporated in the default DSpaces qualified DC schema by direct mapping or by creating a further implementation. Therefore, DC metadata can be extended and optimized for education by incorporating educational descriptors. Some examples of metadata coexisting on the same platform can be seen in JORM, which combines DC, LOM and JMD packages in the same register, and ARISUNASUS, which has its own metadata system based on LOM. Learning goals. Just 29.1% of ROER included learning goals. They were most commonly located in a description field, but they were also found in specific descriptors for learning objectives and instruction method pedagogy or included as part of the intended use. Table 26. Learning goals. Table 27. Location of learning goals. Most of the ROER that excluded metadata on learning goals did not contain any other specific metadata on education. In contrast, ROER with learning goals as a descriptor also included other educational metadata and used educational metadata standards. Finally, by crossing all the proposed educational indicators, educational aspects were found to have a higher incidence with respect to the total ROER. Table 28. Indicators of educational aspects. Level of development of ROER using the incidence of indicators of reuse and educational issues in ROER. We could identify the level of development of these repositories and establish four main types. Top ROER, those that include 9 or 10 of the indicators. Only a few ROER intensively promoted reuse and educational aspects. Merlot and OER Commons, UNIT and TEMOA. High ROER, those that include 7 or 8 of the total indicators. These repositories had a substantial presence in social networks, were OER type, and included educational metadata, open licenses and quality assurance. None of these repositories had open formats. The ROER in this category are Banco de Objetos de Aprendizaje Colombia Aprend, BOB, NDLR, Promothete, OpenLearn, ATE Central, Curve Open, OpenSHNH and Banco Internacional de Objetos Educacionais. Medium ROER, those that include 5 or 6 of the total indicators. The pattern is similar to that of high ROER, but the figures are considerably lower for some indicators, such as educational metadata. Low ROER, those that include 1 to 4 of the total indicators. In general, the figures for all the indicators were much lower, and in particular they lacked open formats, granularity, learning goals and educational standards. 44 ROER were placed in the top, high and medium categories, with different grades of promotion of reuse and educational features. However, the remaining 66 ROER, which make up the bulk of the population, do not have enough drivers to facilitate reuse and educational issues. Table 29. Categorization of ROER according to the incidence of reuse and educational indicators. An initial table was used to classify ROER according to the incidence of reuse and educational indicators. It contained the population of 110 ROER in the x-axis, and the 10 assessment indicators in the y-axis, 6 on reuse and 4 on educational aspects. A second table, presented above, was drawn up to cluster similar ROER and to identify the most popular indicators and the correlations between them. This is a basic, exploratory categorization that will be analyzed in greater depth in future research. Conclusions. Based on the analysis, it has been found that most ROER on higher education are institutional and exclusively designed for educational resources, rather than hybrids that also contain research content. Considering that OER production remains essentially linked to public funding, international projects and institutions, it makes sense that OER production has no place outside of institutional funding. This is particularly true when there are few rewards for OER. The main current features identified in ROER for promoting reuse are open licenses and social networks, intentionality, versioning and quality lag behind, and granularity and open formats are less evident. This suggests that repositories focus more specifically on OA licensing for OER and on taking care of or facilitating the creation of communities of users, who, in turn, could offer additional bottom-up quality criteria for deposited content. The reuse promotion pattern was slightly different in ROER created specifically to deposit OER. The open licensing indicator remained important, and the social network aspect increased considerably. In addition, quality and granularity began to play a more prominent role. Therefore, OER-exclusive repositories include a wider range of features, and use them more intensively, to facilitate the reuse of their resources. The most prevalent educational aspects offered in ROER are content type, format and subject. However, less than half of ROER provide specific metadata related to education, and just over one quarter include learning goals. In addition, the few ROER that provide educational metadata do not always use a specific educational standard such as LOM or SCORM, which were developed to better identify the pedagogical properties of OERs. However, some do incorporate LOM elements in other default metadata specifications, such as Dublin Core. This could be because many institutional repositories use DC as a general schema for describing their resources, since they were created to store not only educational material, but also research or other types of content. We could assume that educational features are more present in OER-exclusive repositories, which are created to meet an educational need. However, such repositories are not currently achieving their fullest potential. Although there is more educational information in this kind of repository, there are still many cases of OER described and retrieved by type or format instead of by detailed educational metadata that better meets the user's needs. For example, the suggested use of content, its duration, pedagogy, target audience or learning goals. To sum up, current ROERs include more drivers that promote the reuse of OERs, mainly through open licenses and social networks, than features facilitating the retrieval and use of OERs according to educational needs, such as learning goals. A level of development of ROER was identified, based on the incidence of reuse and educational indicators. We identified four clusters of ROERs ranging from a small top level of repositories that include most of the reuse and educational dimensions to a large lower level of repositories that lack important features such as open formats, granularity and educational metadata. In the middle of this scale, we also identified a high category mainly characterized by providing social networks and educational metadata standards, and a medium category offering a diverse mix of indicators. We summarize here some of our findings in relation to previous studies. Some similar trends were identified in the general description of the ROER. Most of them were multidisciplinary, institutional, predominantly based in Europe and the USA, and supported by DSpace technology. However, there are also a few fine distinctions, in three particular areas. In the numbers, insofar as our data show a significant increase in institutional ROER, in location, given that Europe and especially the UK, Spain and France took precedence over the USA in our study, while other related work found the opposite situation, and finally in technical infrastructure, where in line with other recent studies and in contrast to previous studies, our findings show an emerging tendency to adopt CMS. Some differences were also observed with respect to prior works. While our results showed a clear predominance of Dublin Core above other specifically educational metadata specifications, other studies found an opposite pattern or simply did not specify the metadata schema used by the ROER. Other differences observed in our research were increased openness in ROER and a more intensive use of CC licenses overall in areas with higher numbers of ROER, such as Europe and the USA. Finally, some of our main contributions were that OER exclusive repositories led to better reuse and educational outcomes than hybrids, and that most of the CC licenses used in ROER allowed reuse, as there was a notable presence of BY-NC-SA and BY-NC. This achievement, added to the use of other kinds of open license, shows increased openness of ROERs. To further develop the research, the evaluation framework could be expanded by adding features, and the categorization of ROER could be examined in greater depth. The research could use indicators that are more focused on pedagogy and bottom-up approaches, as these increase the educational usefulness of ROER and the reuse of OER. Additional features could be based on users' interaction, meaning communities and personal spaces, kind of information shared, social tagging procedures, etc., and types of OER, defined by whether the material was produced by students or educators and who it is aimed at. Users' participation helps to evaluate and license the stored OER, which facilitates reuse and makes it easier to integrate educational needs into the classification and retrieval process. This is the end of the article. The full text of this article is available at the IROEDL website, www.irodl.org. Goodbye.